This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. I just trust the program will bless you, encourage you, maybe challenge you. We hope it instructs you as well. And for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. There's other information on that website that you'll find helpful. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, today we're going to continue our series on people in the Bible that I have found particularly interesting and who have caught my attention and left me with some lessons that I think I have learned, and maybe in some cases some examples that I don't want to follow. And we're going to look at one of those today. We're going to look at Judas. Last time I did a repeat of a message I had given a year ago with regard to Thanksgiving, and I wasn't able to do the editing I would like to have done, but I think it mentioned the number of years that I was saved. Well, you have to add one to that, and recognize that for me, Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, is extremely important. As I said last time, President Kennedy was assassinated on November 22nd. I was saved on November 24th, and I've often said that it takes the death of two people to reach and save me. Well, one was the President Kennedy. That awoke me to the fact that there was something that needed to be settled and needed to be settled now. And, of course, then the death of Christ was what gave me the assurance. The promises in the Bible about the death of Christ gave me the assurance that Christ had died for me and that one day I would be in heaven. And I hope you have an experience similar to that, where your eyes were open to the truth of your own sinnership, your lost condition, and where through the preaching of the Word of God you came to believe in, to trust in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us at the cross of Calvary, was buried, and was raised again the third day, and who has left us with the promise that he is coming again to receive us unto himself. Now, as I said, I spent some time last time just repeating my testimony, but today I want to continue with our look at a person that perhaps is not going to be very positive with regard to our message. I want to look at Judas. And he has always been a bit of a mystery to me. Judas was one of the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus. He was given the privilege of accompanying with the Lord Jesus. He was given the privilege of seeing all that the Lord Jesus could do. And I believe in his mind that when he betrayed the Lord, he really thought that the Lord would use his power to deliver himself from the Roman authorities and even from the scribes and Pharisees, who hated him and were envious of the power, the popularity that he had. And so Judas had a black heart, and I really don't understand why his heart was black. I don't understand why he was willing to betray the Lord, other than that he was in it for self, not in it for others. And I like to compare him sometimes to Peter, who we have talked about. Peter was a disciple whose heart was right, and yet he denied the Lord. We know that the Lord said that he would deny him three times before the cock crew, even though Peter had said, though all men would forsake the Lord, he would never forsake him. And he was essentially saying that he would be one who would show charity to the Lord, who would love the Lord no matter what happened. But yet when he was confronted with the mobs and with the events that were taking place the night in which the Lord was betrayed, he lost heart, and he did three times over say that he was not a part of the Lord's followers. And yet when the final event took place, where he denied the Lord the third time, the Lord turned and looked on Peter and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And that's altogether different from Judas, who, when he realized that the Lord was going to be crucified, and that what he had done was not going to, the Lord was not going to deliver himself from it, he threw the silver pieces that he had received, the 30 pieces of silver, down in front of the scribes and Pharisees, and he basically said to them that he had done wrong. He says, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood," but yet, because his heart was not right, there was no place of repentance for him. And it just seems as though confession of sin usually leads to salvation. But when Judas confessed that he had done wrong, he was only saying that he had done wrong in the sense that he had thought things would work out differently. I don't think his heart was ever changed with regard to who the Lord really was. And it makes us sit here and think today about our own hearts. Are we just playing games when we say we're Christians? Are we in it for self? Do we bear grudges? Because that's basically, I think, what happened with Judas. And I say that based on the fact that when we look at Judas, he is sort of prefigured by Ahithophel in the Old Testament. Ahithophel was a close counselor, a close friend of King David's. And if you remember right, David made a mistake, a grave mistake, in that he took another man's wife by the name of Bathsheba and violated her while that man was fighting a battle for him. And the man that was fighting the battle for him was Uriah the Hittite. And I've sometimes wondered if David didn't feel like he didn't have the same responsibilities to a man who had come from the Hittite lineage as he did, as he would have a full-blooded Jew. I don't know. I just have wondered about that. But nevertheless, he violated that woman. And as you begin to look at it, you find out that Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam, and we find out that Eliam was the son of Ahithophel. I'll just read that to you from, I believe it's 2 Samuel 11 and verse 3. So David sent and inquired about the woman, about Bathsheba. And someone said, "Is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then later on, when we start getting a list of David's mighty men, we find out that some of those involved Eliphelet. I'm reading from 2 Samuel 23. They involved Eliphelet, the son of Hashabiah, the son of the Maacathite, and Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. So Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam. Eliam was the daughter of Ahithophel. And it appears that when David violated Bathsheba, that Ahithophel just waited. He bore a grudge. Outwardly, he appeared to be the friend of David, but he apparently bore a grudge. And ultimately, because of that grudge, he destroyed himself. And so when Absalom rebelled against David and tried to take the throne, instead of Ahithophel supporting David and going with him at this hour of trial, this time of rejection, he went with Absalom and supported Absalom. And I think he thought that at this point David was getting his just desserts. And looking at it from a natural standpoint, I understand Ahithophel perfectly well. I'm human. I perfectly well understand Ahithophel, but I have to recognize the scriptures tell us that if we bear a grudge, the only person that is destroyed is us. In Ephesians it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." And we find out that if we bear a grudge and allow it to fester, there are things that we need to do to try to get reconciled to the person that perhaps has offended us. But if we bear a grudge and try to get even, the person that suffers is the person who bears the grudge. And so Ahithophel, when he found out that his counsel was being defeated by a man by the name of Hushai, who was also David's friend, he went out and he committed suicide. And so that's exactly what Judas did. Just as Ahithophel had borne a grudge, had realized that his granddaughter had been wronged by David and bore that grudge. We have Judas now in the New Testament, who's very similar. Now, we can't prove that Judas bore a grudge, but it only seems logical to me that while it's not recorded, there must have been something in his background that was hindering him from really trusting in the Lord Jesus. And yet he companied with the Lord. But not only that, he had a bad heart in that we find out he was an embezzler. We read from John 12 and verse 4, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii or 300 pence and given to the poor?'" Now, this is where the Lord was being anointed with oil by Mary of Bethany. And that oil was worth 300 pence, which is probably about 300 days' wages, a year's salary. And he said this, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. And so, again, we kind of discern the hearts of people by the way in which they use religion, either to benefit themselves or to benefit others. And I just can't understand how a man who was chosen by the Lord to be his disciple, who was also apparently given the powers that the other disciples had to heal and to cast out demons and to show the power of the Lord and to display his glory in their service for him. How could a man like that have still been a thief and still thought that he could manipulate the Lord's powers for his own good? So he wanted to get rich. He wanted to apparently have his own following. That's what I would assume here. But there was something wrong. And so when we look at Peter, we look at a tender heart. And when Peter was confronted about his sin in John chapter 21 by the Lord and was three times over on that one occasion, was asked about his love for the Lord, the Lord kept asking him if he had charity for him. And Peter would come back and say, you know that I love you, that is, that I'm your friend, I'm fond of you. But he would not use the word charity, because charity implied that if all men forsook him, Peter would not forsake him, and he wouldn't say that anymore. He had been humbled before God. He knew his weakness. But nevertheless, the Lord recommissioned him as he informally, I mean, as we look at it, it appears that he did confess that he was not able to show the love he should have shown, and he was recommissioned for the work of the Lord and became a shepherd in the New Testament church. And folks, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between a Peter and a Judas, but all I'm saying is make sure that you're a Peter and not a Judas. Don't try to manipulate the Lord and the doctrines of the Bible for your own personal benefit. Make sure you understand that as a sinner, you need a Savior. Peter knew that. Peter had found out that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we need to understand that, and we need to trust in the living Savior. We need to love him, and we need to go out and show that we are Christians because we love God and we love one another. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those that are listening. We thank thee for thy salvation, and we just commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.